Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And welcome to Med Crimes.
Meh.
The morning is right. Also, we are remote.
Yeah, you want to know why?
Because the one thing that I didn't get this season finally came to find me, and her name is Rona.
Kate's got the Rona.
And everything's fine. It's just that I have the Rona.
We almost had three episodes in a row.
Almost. We almost did. Not almost. Quite. I know. We almost made it. So hopefully this is the last wave of illness in my house, and we can just kind of forget all about it. That'd be nice.
We were supposed to have six more weeks of winter when the groundhog came out, but maybe he got confused because it seems like we are having an early spring, but
it
want to jinx anything, so.
No, let's not. Let's not jinx, and he probably did get confused. I mean, he is simply a groundhog after all, and maybe it's easy to get confused when you're simply a groundhog living
For
your
sure.
best life. All right, shall we just dive right in?
So we have conclusion.
We have a conclusion to our three-part series on this very alarming lady we have now come to know as Caitlin Braun. And I know y'all want to know what happens.
Let's just dive head first.
Let's do it. So again, the trigger warnings I'm just going to mention very quickly. If you've listened to the first few parts, the same stuff applies here. So we're going to be talking again about child loss, miscarriage, stillbirth, childbirth, sexual harassment, and sexual assault. So if that's not your bag, this is the last one you can skip over. You can rejoin us in a couple of weeks if you want to, unless we pull out something real hairy then, you know, here we go.
Might need a waxing.
Mm-hmm. We might need to wax all this hair. So, in part two, we learned a little bit more about Caitlin and the impact that she had on a lot of doulas and how widespread this had become in like a very, very short period of time. And we also learned a little bit about her history, her childhood, and the fact that she is, in fact, a licensed social worker. Which, like we talked about last time, somehow makes things a lot worse and a lot weirder. So just to sort of like build on that last little piece a bit. So she graduated from Wilfrid Laurier University, which is a very good, very renowned social work program, actually. And she graduated in 2020. And once she did obtain her degree, she began working with youth in crisis and women seeking shelter. And a lot of the work that she did was actually with the First Nations population. And First Nations is a term used to describe Indigenous peoples of Canada. And so this is a underserved community that are often victimized in many different ways. So the fact that she was helping them was great, but we're going to talk a little bit more about some other things that she did. And it just gets, you know, somehow gets worse. I don't really know how this can get worse, but
still
gets worse. Yeah. Wild.
Wowza.
So, Let's go back for a moment to Kate's childhood best friend, Asia. And she's the one that sort of shared a little bit of insight about how it was to be very good friends with Caitlin as a teen and some of the tall tales that Caitlin would weave into their lives and why those two kind of drifted apart. And we're going to go back because she would also describe Caitlin telling her about these encounters that she would have in her workplace. And she recalls that she was working at one point at sort of like this halfway house. And there was this one guy who was somewhat dangerous, and she ended up like getting sort of blocked into his apartment, and he held her at knife point at one point. And we're not actually sure if this is something that is true or if this is another one of those things that Caitlin kind of confabulated. But that was in June of 2022. And that it was just after that, actually, in that same month, June 2022, that Caitlin had her first known instance of lying to a birth worker about being pregnant and giving birth. So it was around that time that things sort of started to escalate. She was like pulling other, you know, strangers into her tall tales. So it was while she was working with these very vulnerable populations in a professional capacity, but she was also in her free time, like manipulating people for her own gratification, which again just makes things so weird. And then Amy Silva, remember Amy, the doula that had made that first TikTok about Caitlin, mm-hmm. and actually, you know, we talked about her story in the first part there,
yeah,
the OG. So she actually, you know, surmises that, you know, the title of social worker was something that Kate, you know, wanted to attain as some kind of cover, because like just like with nursing or teaching or any other, you know, one of those like, you know, very respectable positions, you know, you hear, oh, she's a social worker. And it's like immediately this person is trustworthy. This person is sincere. And while in fact she was defrauding all of these people all of that time, you know, and energy and money. And not to mention, like, sexually harassing some people. And somehow, you know, they did expand beyond just, like, her own fantasies and fallacies. But it did, like, drastically affect the lives of others. And she was using, like, all of these medical resources and these birth worker resources. And she knew full well she wasn't pregnant. But it was that title that made her so trustworthy, like, within her circle of people that actually knew her in person. So now comes this report from a woman named Nadia. And Nadia is actually not her real name, but she actually went by the surname Nadia in order to sort of keep anonymous and protect her family, because this actually pertains to her son, who was a minor at the time of this incident being talked about. So one day, Nadia gets a call from her son's father, and he says, "Hey, there is some sort of situation. Our son has been accused of sexual assault, and he was very, very, very upset, obviously." So Nadia, of course, jumps in her car and she drives as fast as she can to go figure out what the hell is going on. And just to be clear, it is not actually disclosed to the public how old this gentleman is that was being accused. I believe he was a teen. I'm not sure exactly how old, but he was a minor, or where this was said to have happened. So essentially what a person in charge told Nadia was that a woman named Caitlin had handed a note to her supervisor stating that she had been sexually assaulted by this young man. And Nadia responded in just complete disbelief and shock, because she's like, "My son does not even know like what that is." Mm-hmm. Like my son is he would never, because he's never been exposed to that. He has no idea like what any of this even means, like what he would even do with that. We don't even know. But she did learn that Caitlin had actually gone to the hospital. She had seen a provider. She had gotten a rape kit done to try and substantiate all of this. And Nadia had no idea who Caitlin was and had never even heard of her. So Caitlin's accusation was that Nadia's son had sexually assaulted her in a hallway of some sort.
What?
And local police ended up getting involved. The police came and they got all the video footage and they went through all of it. And it was like 3 days worth of video that they had to pore over. This was a huge undertaking. And after going through all of the security tapes, Nadia said police told her it was that he was completely cleared of all issues. The problem, like if there was a problem, it did not involve her son at all. And they said the only thing that they found was that her son had given her a high five in the hallway, had given Caitlin a high five in the hallway.
Wow. And good going, Caitlin.
Yeah, Jesus. And Nadia felt absolutely devastated that this accusation fell upon her son when it was just made up. Like, it seemed to just the interaction that she described had just never even occurred. It was completely made up. So. Because, as we all know, you know,
and
once
this is like, you know, a false accusation, you know what I mean? This could have been
thing.
So detrimental before and when it, she's doing all this fabrication. I mean, it was
it can be irreparable right. to be accused of something like mm-hmm. this. I mean, this can
especially once, to a young boy,
to someone who's that young, like to destroy someone's reputation like that is it's deplorable. And, you know, another important factor here is that this boy and his family was one of the First Nations kids. He was a First Nations child. So that this is a long history, unfortunately, going back hundreds of years for a non-Indigenous person to be put in like these positions of power and authority and then turn around and victimize an Indigenous person. So it's not uncommon, and it just sort of adds a layer of just real, you know, sadness and shame to this whole situation, because this population has been victimized enough. And then once again, Nadia's son had not been physically harmed, not been, you know, there are no kinds of allegations that could absolutely, you know, these are the kinds of allegations that could absolutely just destroy someone for years and years and years to come, which like makes it so sad. And Nadia said that the police did tell her that she could press charges, like for Caitlin having mm-hmm. brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, if there's a chance that my son would have to testify against her, like we're not going to do that. This right. is a kid and he has been through enough with this. He just wants to put this behind him. So she was like, you know what? We're not going to go down that road. But and that's completely understandable. I totally get where she's coming from. So now it's not even just a waste of like the medical resources and the weight upon the medical teams for absolutely nothing. But now we're burning through police resources right? as well for complete and utter lies. And the thing that really pisses me off and sort of feeds into the narrative of believe the accused first and not the victim. You know what I mean? Right? Because the victim mm-hmm. when a victim makes an accusation, and they somehow find it within themselves to be brave enough to actually come forward and make that accusation known and public and try and bring this person to justice, even though it can destroy people in just from coming forward and trying to speak their truth, they are victim blamed. And, you know, people just saying, oh, it's just, you know, so-and-so is getting falsely accused and it's just women and children and victims going around, you know, falsely accusing people of rape and sexual assault and throwing that around. And I don't right. know how that narrative got so out of control, but it is factually true that the vast, 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 vast majority of accusations are merited accusations.
Right.
Like these,
right.
the number of false or made up accusations are absolutely minute
right.
when compared to the actual number of sexual assaults that get reported. And these are just the assaults that get reported. Think of the ones that don't get reported at all, because mm-hmm. the majority do not, for mm-hmm. obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So this is helping to perpetuate that whole narrative that we shouldn't believe victims, which
right.
is totally not okay. It's mm-hmm. taking away from the trauma and the experience and the gravity of what a true sexual assault is, what a true child loss is, what a
it's
true...
It's going to make that victim shaming 10 times worse.
Exactly. It makes it 10 times worse. So this is just... It's horrible in a lot of ways, but that's another layer that we didn't really, like, address as much. And mm-hmm. It burns me so much more for that reason that this
We're
is even
burned.
A thing that happened. It really is awful. And Like, it's unfortunately sexual assault, sexual harassment is really common. Caitlin is not the rule. She is the outlier. She is the exception. Mm-hmm. So, meanwhile, it has come out that Caitlin was a registered social worker. We got word got back to the Ontario College of Social Workers and Social Service Workers, and that is the social workers sort of regulatory body in Canada. And much like the Board of Nursing, or, you know, for nurses or what have you, and the doulas had actually complained to her regulatory body about Caitlin's conduct, and actually they had received a ton of complaints about her from a lot of former birth workers, so mm-hmm. she was already on their radar. But for the longest time, the regulatory body really didn't do anything. It was a lot of like hearing the complaint and like, okay, but that's not illegal. Okay, but that's like on her personal time. You know what I mean? And it had nothing to do with like her social work at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when word got out that she was finally formally arrested, then the media got a hold of this and the board had to do something. So finally, they temporarily suspended her social work license. And there is still no disciplinary hearing from the Board of Social Workers yet scheduled for Caitlin. That piece is ongoing. So the potential outcomes include she could lose her license. It could get reinstated for whatever reason if they find, you know, reasons to reinstate it or some sort of disciplinary action that she has to go through. So all of that is pending, and mm-hmm. we'll provide you an update when we hear more about that. So, in December 2023, Caitlin is indicted, and the total number of charges at this point are 21. And
oh, good.
Yeah. According to the court transcripts, all of those charges are read, and she enters a plea of guilty. So, thankfully, there would be no big litigation, and the people that she dragged into this would not be forced to come and, like, testify against her and go through, like, cross-examination and all of that. Because at the very least, she did that for her victims.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Dr. Catherine Nunes, who's a clinical psychologist from the UK who specializes in the study of behavior of people who fake medical conditions and pregnancies, she states, quote, "No one questions a grieving mother or someone who claimed that they had been raped, especially in the context of a society that historically has a narrative of not believing women." Mm-hmm. So that was just another layer. All of these side details, like that her pregnancy was the result of rape and that she had lost touch with her family, that she had been abused, that this baby was going to be stillborn, that she had all of these medical conditions. Like, why in God's name would anybody question any of that?
Yeah.
Right?
Right, exactly.
So
and the fact that it's all made up is like she's like crossing this unspeakable line.
Well, right, exactly. It totally, you know. So nobody would even suspect that this person would
mm-hmm.
do that,
mm-hmm.
Which is why, you know, people end up spending a week, you know, entertaining Caitlin on the phone or 4 days with her in her home. It's just like, who the hell would do that? You know, that's not on people's radar that she would just fake something like nope. that for her own gratification until they pick up on something really weird, really out of the ordinary and say, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this anymore. So, now, Dr. Nunes, Catherine Nunes, had actually co-authored a paper about this type of behavior with a colleague of hers, Dr. Mark Feldman, and he is a clinical professor of psychiatry and is an expert in factitious disorder. And we have several times discussed factitious disorder imposed on another, which is formerly known as Munchausen by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... Now, the difference between factitious disorder and fictitious disorder imposed on another is that when we're talking about factitious disorder imposed on another, that's when a caregiver or a person is creating an illness in a victim, right? Sometimes somebody that they're caring for, sometimes it's a child, sometimes it's a disabled person or what have you, and they're making up and creating these conditions for this other person. But for someone with factitious disorder, not imposed on another, just simple factitious disorder, They're imposing upon themselves. They are lying about medical conditions that they have. They're creating and faking their own medical conditions for their own attention seeking and gratification. So it's, and because Caitlin did what she did to so many different caregivers at so many different hospitals, reaching out to so many different doulas and just victimizing person after person after person, it's making it impossible to track, which is very characteristic of factitious disorder. It's so hard to track because these people end up seeking care from so many different providers, so many different places, and it just ends up being impossible to identify any
Everything
sort of pattern.
So choppy.
Exactly. So during a court-ordered psychiatric examination, Caitlin shared with the examiner that was taking care of her that she had been previously diagnosed with bipolar disorder, anxiety, depressive disorders, and factitious disorder. So she admits that she has been diagnosed with all of these. But after reviewing everything, all the victim testimonies, the court-appointed clinician actually rejected the diagnosis of factitious disorder and said that her behavior specifically was more consistent with borderline personality disorder. So,
Do you agree with that? I think I do.
So let's talk about borderline personality disorder a little bit. So according to the Mayo Clinic, borderline personality disorder is a mental health condition that affects the way people feel about themselves and others, making it very difficult to function in everyday life. And it can also include a pattern of unstable, intense relationships, as well as like impulsivity and seeing themselves in a very unappealing light. And they often act without considering the consequences. And BPD actually often begins like in early adulthood. That's when it's most often like identified and diagnosed. Some clinical and clinical features include mood swings, anger, impulsiveness, and these things often do get better as age goes on, but the main central issues around self-image and fear of abandonment tend to hang around, and which then triggers this constant need of validation and constant care and concern from other people. And there are treatments available, typically depending on the person and on the severity. A combination of medications and cognitive behavioral therapy tend to be the most successful treatments for it. So a lot of this does seem consistent with what we're hearing about Caitlin's behavior. Like, in my opinion, that makes sense.
I'm sitting here nodding my head like,
checks. Yeah. So despite this diagnosis and her struggles with mental health and her extensive history, Caitlin's lawyers did not petition to have her declared incompetent, and they, you know, did not try and make it so that she could not stand trial. And she was held responsible for her actions. So that was a good thing that they did as well. And at the time for her sentencing hearing, she had been in custody for about 10 months already at that point.
Oh, wow.
Now, what I didn't mention before is that her guilty plea was actually part of a deal. And exchange for the guilty plea, specifically the sexual assault charges, were brought down. So they would call it, instead of sexual assault, her charges were changed to indecent acts. So unfortunately, there was no chance that she would be put on the sex offender registry, which was kind of disheartening to the community of people that she had victimized, because that's something that they were hoping for so that it followed her. But it was not a thing that they could do at that point.
I mean, I kind of agree with that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she did some very lewd and inappropriate things. And
to that doula, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
You're right. Sorry, I'm thinking about the accusation and then the other stuff. But that doula that was with her at a home,
yes,
was it a hotel room?
It was an Airbnb.
You are correct. Yeah. Now that it's coming back to me, I'm like, yeah, wait, you're right. She was acting very like,
very inappropriate, very lewd, had sort of like lured this woman into her home under the guise of being a medical provider, and then just like started touching herself inappropriately.
Thinking back to that story now in the last part, and I'm like, yeah, okay, that was really creepy. Here,
that was very bad.
I'm in labor, and then
and all of a sudden I'm naked, and now I'm so that was not cool. So that was kind of a blow to the community of people that she had victimized. They were hoping that she would get put on the sex offender registry. And then in January 17th of 2024 is when her sentencing hearing finally takes place. And along with the sentencing hearing, they were doing victim impact statements. And they did this because a lot of the general public was still having a hard time really, again, just realizing like why this was such a big deal. What exactly was this big negative impact that she had on her victims, and how
they were probably thinking, you know, like you said before, like she didn't kill anyone. She didn't.
Well, it's just being that, and it's like, yeah, it's just being uninformed. And yeah, exactly.
There's so much waste of resources. Those doulas could have been with other folks
that actually needed her
service too. Exactly. You know what I mean? And yeah,
exactly. This was a huge impact on just countless people. So, Shauna, remember Shauna from the first episode, doula?
Yeah.
She was able to make a statement at this hearing as well. And what she stated regarding Caitlin was, quote, "Caitlin Braun was my very first client, meaning that any client I ever have will be affected by what she did to me. Since my time with Miss Braun, I have been fearful of finding new clients. Every time I get a new referral, I wonder if they are being truthful. I no longer offer virtual support. This means that a large portion of the population no longer has access to my birth services, and I have less experience than I could have. This is a loss to the community, not just me. Caitlin Braun has made me afraid to do the work that I am so passionate about. The trauma that Caitlin Braun has caused me and my family is possibly difficult to understand, and certainly difficult to describe, but it cannot be understated," end quote.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was so very well put by her.
Yes, yeah.
So well articulated. And if you look at drawings and pictures of like within the courtroom, Caitlin was very solemn. She was listening to all the victims with her head down. She didn't look anybody in the eye, really. She did eventually get a chance to speak for herself, and she stood up and finally addressed her victims. And she stated, quote, "Your Honor, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak to the court. I stand before you today because of the regrettable decisions I made that caused harm to a lot of people. I know that the words I speak today do not take back what I did, and I know that they do not automatically create healing. However, it is my hope that the words, along with my plan of action, show that I'm a changed person. My time in custody has allowed me to have an opportunity to reflect upon what I did, and has also allowed me the opportunity to decide what kind of person I want to be moving forward. What I did was ultimately very wrong, and I feel a strong sense of shame when I think about the hurt and the pain that I've caused. I never want to be that person I became. I am ready to approach these supports with honesty and vulnerability. I am ready to show that I am not going to reoffend," end quote. So, I mean, that sounds great in theory.
Yeah.
So, while in prison.
Sounds like someone saying, go easy on me.
Yeah, please, please take it easy on me. Now, while in prison, Kate did participate in a lot of programs. A lot of it was very, like, religion-centric. So she did like some Bible study stuff. She did some religion classes. She earned a lot of certificates while she was in prison. She took classes on healthy body image. She took a human trafficking awareness course. She did a management course. She did a working through emotional pain course. And she did a lot of other faith-based things as well. So, after everything was considered, the sentencing agreement was revealed, and it suggested that Caitlin spend 2 years on house arrest, 3 years on probation, and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of therapy. Interestingly enough, the judge did not accept this arrangement.
Oh.
And it was kind of unusual because 9 times out of 10, when an agreement is reached between defense and prosecution, the judge is like, I mean, okay, yeah, like I'll accept it. But not today. This judge had been the same judge that presided over Caitlin's case from pretty much the beginning. And he wanted to highlight more of the facts of the impact that Caitlin had on the community, specifically the medical and birth working community. And According to medical records from the time she was 17 until she was 24, Caitlin had gone to the hospital more than 170 times.
Word.
Oh, 170.
Oh, man.
And the court ordered medical examiner believed that most of these visits were lies. These were all based on lies mm-hmm. and confabulating and I'm pregnant or I got sexually assaulted. And so the judge was really having a hard time with such a minimal sentence. And he had said, actually, on this quote, "She is fundamentally dishonest, and her whole history is filled with deception and manipulation. I wasn't able to discuss Caitlin's history with her own doctors, but I did speak with Dr. Feldman. He's not spoken directly to Caitlin, but he has spent a lot of time studying people that he says are like her," end quote. Now, Dr. Feldman, he's the one that sort of surmised that she might have had factitious disorder. Mm-hmm. And he said that when the court didn't accept that diagnosis of factitious disorder, he was kind of surprised. But again, like, I've never met her, so I'm going to defer to whatever the evaluators said. You know, they're the ones that actually did the evaluation. But he was, just based on her history, the track record, the volume of times that she did this, he's like, I'm very surprised. I would be very surprised if that was not something that she was dealing with. So, and then according to Dr. Feldman also, it is very typical for patients to know what they're doing is very wrong, like while they're doing it, that are experiencing factitious disorder. So it's like very typical to have this like extensive planning, this extensive execution, and all of these plans that can drag on for weeks and weeks and weeks, which that is characteristic of what Caitlin did. So it may very well be she has a combination of the two, you know, or, you know, one or the other.
Okay.
And it's so hard with psychiatric illnesses, too, because, you know, they're not so cut and dry. And sometimes it can be a combination or layers of one or two. And like there are criteria that you can meet, but there's no like blood tests that you can draw to figure out what they have. So ultimately, after considering all of this, the judge stated, you know what, I feel like I need more time to consider what should be a sentence for this lady. So unfortunately, they had to sort of like close court for a little bit of time. Court was adjourned. Caitlin was sent back to jail. He wanted both sides to sort of come up with a plan that not only served Caitlin's clear mental health needs, but also ensured that she couldn't reoffend, because his main concern was that she was going to reoffend. It seemed very likely that she was going to reoffend. So finally, about a month later, on the morning of February 14th, 2024, the judge announced his decision. And despite his reservations, he accepted a joint sentencing submission. So of Caitlin will get out of jail and be placed in 2 years of house arrest with her mom and 3 years of probation. And
isn't that the original one?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So he thought about it and just like accepted it because
I mean, so disappointed.
I am too. I know. I told you, like, this is kind of ridiculous. And like, wait for it. Just wait for it. So she's going to be under house arrest with her mom, and then she's going to be on 3 years of probation and get tons and tons and tons of therapy. And when that came out, you know, all the doulas and medical workers that were victimized were kind of just left wondering, like, house arrest, really? Like, is that actually going to be enough? Like, is therapy and living with her mom actually going to be enough? Is she actually going to stop herself if the urge presents itself to, like, reoffend again? And then
all she needs is access to a phone
or a computer. That's all she needs. And then in April 2024, while on house arrest, Caitlin contacted another doula. She contacted a doula as through a family helpline in search of an emergency, like, pregnancy support.
My goodness.
And she sent this doula over 600 text messages over a 3-day period. And for the first time that we're aware of in these two cases, Caitlin used a pseudonym for this. So she actually was like, no, my name's not Caitlin. My name's, you know, Roberta or whatever.
Well, Roberta.
So, like, super cool trying to throw people off your scent there, Caitlin, but your digital footprint says another thing.
So it's a violation of her house arrest, I'm assuming.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So it came out that she was doing this again. She was arrested and sent right back to jail. Bye-bye. So on January 7th of 2025, this year, Caitlin pled guilty to a total of 4 new charges, 2 counts of false pretenses with an intent to defraud, and 1 count of intent to harass, and 1 count of intent to injure or alarm. So unfortunately, they gave her a chance, and as soon as she was able, she fucking reoffended.
Yep.
So now she's potentially...
No house arrest for you.
No, that is off the table now. So now she's facing potentially up to 4 years of incarceration.
Good.
And as of right now, the judge is still reviewing another sentencing proposal, and hopefully, they actually put her away this time.
I think it's a good thing for those that said, like, you know, that she didn't kill anyone. It goes to show, like, people don't have to be, like, physically hurt. You know what I
no.
mean? Fraud is fraud. You can't defraud the system. You can't theft of services. You can't. No. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't do that.
You can't charge your insurance for these hospital trips for a fake condition.
And then trauma, like the just the emotional trauma on these people that, again, empty their hearts and souls into their patients every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody has the fucking time or energy for this, okay?
Nope.
Like, this is ridiculous. She obviously, you know, needs so much help. She needs all of the help. Like, please, someone get her some fucking help, because this is absurd. And if she has the opportunity, she is going to keep doing this. She has proven that. She was publicly chastised for it. She went to court for it. It was a whole big to-do. Her name and face were splattered all over the media internationally, and she fucking made up another name and did it again.
Yep.
The second she had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we are. Nobody has the time or energy of this. This was short and sweet.
Da, 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 da.
Ongoing. So I hope...
I want to end it with, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got fucking time for this, you guys. Come on. We can't keep doing this.
Nope.
Can we not? Can we literally not? That was exhausting. I'm glad it's over.
I'm done talking about her.
Fuck you, Caitlin. Goodbye. Kick you into next week.
Yep. Oh, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us on that doozy.
Yes, it was a big one.
That was
I'm glad
a big
it's
one.
Over.
Intense, too, in the beginning.
It was, for sure.
All right, you can keep finding us and checking us out at Facebook at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can find us on YouTube at Med Crimes Podcast.
You can search us on Instagram at Med Crimes Podcast.
If you want to become a Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast. It's super fun there. We've got special communities and special chats. You get a free t-shirt if you join for a few months. That's super cool.
Whoop, whoop.
And also, all Patreons get 10% off. All the upper tiers get 20% off of our merch, which is available at medcrimespodshop.com. And it's pretty fire, I'm not going to lie. Check it out.
Pretty fly for a what? Yeah. Anyway, I'm not.
Oh my god! You
anyway.
Did not just bring the offspring into this podcast.
You can send us any crazy stories, any suggestions, topics, things that you want to hear on our show at medcrimes@gmail.com.
I'm still not over the fact that you just did that.
Pretty fly.
He's getting a tattoo. Yeah, he's getting ink done.
You're welcome. Take care, y'all.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.